Flames fans. Time for another episode of Flames Unfiltered, a special episode. And as the draft nears, we're going to stir up some horrible, horrible draft memories for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, that'll keep our listeners listening.
Oh,
Frig, this is gonna be bad.
We're in a good mood, so we're that'll help this, because if we were both crabby today, this could get ugly.
Well, this may also be the longest episode in Flames Unfiltered history if we want to go through every bad pick we've ever made. So get ready, folks, for hour one of 73 of the worst Flames picks ever.
Because you know what? I've said this for years. Up until the last maybe 8 to 10 years, probably the biggest downfall of the Calgary Flames was their draft.
Yeah, in some cases because they had no picks, because they mortgaged a future so often when they had those competitive Iginla Kiprusoff teams, or because they just sucked at drafting, scouting, and more than anything, I feel development in a lot of cases.
I think so too. I think it was I think to be that bad, it had to be a combination of all, right?
Absolutely. And to be honest, there's so many names to choose from, it's really hard to know where to begin. We can't spend too much time on any one player because we literally would be doing this for the rest of our miserable existences.
I know which one I would start with.
Go ahead.
It was the 6th overall pick, just the same as what we have this year. It was 1997. Daniel Tkachuk.
Tkachuk, actually.
Is it Tkachuk?
It's Tkachuk. He's the first Tkachuk with a different spelling. Yep.
Different spelling.
Somehow put up 11 points, I think, in 19 games. You're welcome. And actually looked pretty good.
We passed on Joe Thornton, Roberto Luongo. Like, I know those are all in hindsight. You can do that for every single draft. Like, you can. But yeah, that one was one that just, I remember just being excited. We were drafting 6th, and it just was like, ugh.
He ended up writing for the Hockey News and detailed his concussion problems years later and basically what happened to his development. Very candidly, it was actually quite an interesting read. But yeah, that was a rough one. That was a string of rough ones, because without delving too much into other players, we had Daniel Tkachuk, we had Rico Fatta.
Oh,
the fastest player I think I ever saw play in St. John.
I remember getting his hockey card right away, and I was like, oh boy, this is big, and then nothing.
Yeah, Rico Fatta. Who else?
There's a goalie that comes to mind for me. It was a first rounder that I was super excited about, and
it's either Brent Cron or Leland Irving.
Well, it's Leland Irving. I'm not picking on Brett Cron here. This was in 2006, 26 overall. Leland Irving, he appeared in only 13 NHL games.
Didn't he also play for the Everett Silvertips, the WHL?
Good. Yep.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, he's the one that got shelled in Boston that night too, like about 2 years after that. Brutal. And Brent Cron obviously was, he was drafted in Calgary. From Calgary, like, oh, that was a rough one. Great analyst, though, and really self-deprecating.
You know, the thing is, like, the way Cron has handled his career, it doesn't even look like a failure to me. Like, I think without even knowing it, has helped a lot of players manage failure better in their life. I don't know, to man. I just feel like he's taken the right approach, man. Like, there was really big high hopes for him, and it did not work out. And it wasn't because he didn't care or didn't want to; it just didn't work out. There's a lot of timing involved too, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Andre Medvedev, the worst conditioned goaltender in Calgary Flames history, World Junior standout, no less.
Yeah.
You're welcome for that as well.
You want me to throw a recent one at you here?
Sure.
Jacob Peltier.
Oh, the AHL Player of the Year. How dare you? You're right. You are going to piss me off because you just did.
That's why I like segued into that, because I knew you'd bring that up. Because That was one that you really had, you know, and we all have them. Like I've got a couple, like the next guy I'll bring up is the guy that I had the biggest high hopes for. And you had it for Peltier, and I always kind of question it, and it's like, you know, and it just never panned out for him in the NHL.
Yep.
Now injuries played a role, I think.
Oh yeah, most certainly.
But it still didn't.
No, it did not. Tim Erickson.
Yeah.
That was brutal. Glad when he got traded and fell, you know, his career fell off a fucking cliff. Who else?
Yusuf Alamaki is the guy I was had the highest hopes for.
Remember that hit that he made in the against Colorado in the playoffs when James Neal scored? That was sick.
Like Valimaki, I remember there was, I can't remember what year it was, but I like had like penciled him in as like, this guy's gonna get rookie. He's gonna win the Calder. And that did not happen. Like yeah. It didn't come close.
No, it sure didn't. So many to choose from, right? Oh, Chris Chucko. Ugh, wow.
Golden gopher. We don't go.
Yeah. And he works for National Bank now, I think, as like an investment advisor or something.
I don't know. I don't follow. Yeah.
Well, now there's anybody else. I don't know why I know that. Anyway.
It's like an odd.
We don't want this to be mean because these guys played at a way higher level than we could ever dream of, but it's still kind of wild, right?
It is. I mean, it's not. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about guys that were first. Most of these guys were first rounders, like first rounders.
Sven Berchi. Remember all the hype around him?
Oh, yeah. He was a 13th overall pick.
Oh, man. 3 goals in 5 games that year, I think.
He had like flashes where it was like, oh boy.
But he got rocked one time too many, unfortunately. Man, this is depressing.
One that would create a little controversy, maybe we can talk about this for a few minutes, but you know, like I think a lot of people would probably put this guy in the list and I wouldn't. But 4th overall pick in 2014, Sam Bennett. I think a lot of people in Calgary would put him on draft failures in Calgary. And I don't know if that was a draft failure, if that was just a developmental failure or a situation. I still think if he could have got a full season here with Daryl Sutter, it would have been a total different story.
Yeah, he definitely didn't get the opportunity. I mean, people will point at certain points he got opportunity, but never sustained opportunity. He wasn't a bad draft choice, but just to your point, it was horribly, horribly managed up and down the lineup, in and out of the lineup. Just Rodney Dangerfield, man, got no respect.
Yeah.
And he was I'd met him in Columbus, Ohio back in 2019. Wonderful guy. Super, you know, chatty and friendly and all that stuff. Hell of a player. Obviously won a Conn Smythe trophy, which is mind-boggling for those of us that watched him in Calgary. All we remember is his 4-goal game against the Panthers, right? But certainly not a bust, but a major disappointment how that situation played out.
I would, yeah, probably, yeah. Another guy that I was super excited for was a 10th pick in the first round, and that was Erik Nyström. I was super excited for that guy. I loved what he brought to the table, and it just never translated, right?
I had a game-worn Erik Nyström jersey. I sent him a picture of it, which he loved, on Instagram.
I have a game-used stick of his.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you told me that.
I have a Conroy one, too.
Yeah. Huh, interesting.
I got some goalies. I got more goalies. Tyler Parsons, John Gillies, both those guys. Drafted by the Flames, high hopes and nothing.
Yeah, really disappointing. Looked like he was going to be a standout for the World Junior team, too, but he barely played, as I recall.
Mm-hmm. John Gillies' career, I believe he's still playing. It just never translated up to the National Hockey League, right?
Nope.
Here's like an interesting one. And it's really odd that we're going to talk about him at this moment because he had a very good year this year, actually. And that's Mark Jankowski.
Yeah. Hey, Joe Neuendijk.
Yeah.
But I would have punched Jay Feaster right in the face for that for one reason and one reason only. You never, ever, and this has happened where I work too. You never, ever compare someone directly to someone who's been a star elsewhere, somebody who was a standout, Because all you do is set that guy up for failure, and it's the total wrong thing to do. We have this bad habit of saying, like, oh, this is so-and-so 2.0. Okay, so now he's the new and improved version of the 1.0. You don't say things like that ever. I'm going to share this podcast with some people that I work with so they can understand better. It drives me insane.
No, I mean, do we know if that ever played a role in Jankowski's career in Calgary? No, we have no idea. But I do remember a few things. I remember his last game in Calgary. We knew he was going to be history. And didn't he rattle off 3 or 4 goals that game? He had like a four goal.
Yeah, he did. That's right. Yeah, he
like, did. It was just out of control. And we knew he was gone. And I mean, there was a lot of high hopes for him. I mean, he was a big center. He was like really drafted, like way off the board. I can't remember what college hockey program he was playing at in the States. Someone in the East Coast League, the Hockey East. I can't remember exactly who it was, but I just picture it and I'm like, man, this is going to be a good big center, the guy we need, right? And just never panned out.
Oh, brutal. Brutal. Matt Pelich.
Yeah.
Super disappointing. Guy was huge. What was his name? Oh my God, I can't remember. It was like a right. It was the guy was massive. He's a forward, Hunter something maybe. I gotta find it. No, I gotta look it up. I don't want to remember his name, but now I have to.
Another guy that frustrated me was the 08 25th overall pick in Greg Nemes.
No, that was a bad one. Those are real. Yeah, former Windsor Spitfire. That was bad.
Like 15 games in this league. Oof.
I want to say this was. Oh, Keegan Kanzig.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a bad one. Oh, my God. These picks are so depressing.
Well, you're forgetting Morgan Klemchuk, first rounder for the Flames.
Ooh, stop. Emile Poirier.
Yeah, he was a first rounder, too, in 2013 also.
Yeah.
We had two picks in the first round, Klemchuk and, oh, man.
Didn't we have 3 picks that year?
In the first round, did we really?
Yeah, Monahan, Poirier, and Klemchuk.
Oh, well, one of them worked.
Yeah. Yeah. We gave away a first round pick to get rid of him. That was smart. Ryan House. John Negrin. I forget about him.
Oh, yeah.
Who was that guy? Matt Keatley. Speaking of disappointing. Tim Ramholt. Oof, second round pick. I know his old roommate. Oh, this is a lot. This was not a good idea for my mental health.
Here's another one that's really not going to be good for your mental health either, and that's Dylan Dubé.
Oh, yeah. Hunter Smith. That's what I was thinking of. Hunter Smith.
Okay, let's talk about Dylan Dubé for a second. We all know what happened. We don't need to talk about that. But it was the reason why he disappeared from the Flames, right?
Mm-hmm.
If none of that happened and none of that transpired, what would have happened with Dylan Dubé and the Calgary Flames?
He would have left as a free agent.
You think so?
Yeah, he was never going to make it as a... Never going to make it as a full-time Flame. I mean, he did for a while, but I mean, just his spot in the lineup was going to disappear.
So...
Yeah, he looks like the guy from You. What was that? What's that actor's name?
Oh, God. Did you watch that TV series?
Absolutely, I did. He looked like him, and he's just as creepy, yeah. It turns out, too.
Not quite that, but yes.
Well, yeah. Okay, whatever.
I don't know if you've seen that series. That gets a little bit...
Oof, it's a good series, though. I love psychological.
I like season 1 and 2 and I think 3, and then I faded then.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a little bit redundant.
I got faded. Season 1 was off the charts. Oh, great. Yeah,
it's like when I tried... Well, John Stamos was incredible in that show, eh?
That was a good series, the first 2 years.
Yeah. It's like anything else. Like I tried to explain to my mom one time because she loves Criminal Minds. I'm like, it's the same episode every week. She said, what do you mean? I said, the first person gets killed in the first 5 minutes. The last person survives in the last 5 minutes. It's the most formulaic garbage I've ever seen in my life. Anyway, speaking of garbage, back to these draft picks.
Yeah. Let's switch gears. I think we named off like the bad ones. I mean, all of the major, major bad ones. But let's kind of throw a twist to it, and let's talk about a couple recent draft picks that are in question. What happens with these guys? Are these guys going to pan out? Or are they not? Sam Hanzik going to pan out? What's your gut telling you on Sam Hanzik?
He's going to be a good two-way player. I think the offensive ceiling is not what we hoped it would be, but I don't know. Maybe being a 40-point player. Love to be wrong.
This year is going to be so critical for Sam Hanzik.
Absolutely. Same with, I think Etienne Mornaz is on the cusp of being a career AHLer just because the D is so deep, right?
Yeah, but stuff happens, right?
It does.
And then another guy that I kind of like look at his draft pick, and it's like, it's been a few years now. Like, are we going to get a William Stromgren breakout?
He's another one that's right on the cusp of being.
I know.
Leads, right?
I know. And then we have a couple current roster players where I'm like, what happens?
I'd put on that list too. Is Suniev going to be able to get a foothold in the NHL?
Yeah. Yeah, that is another one. Connor Zeri, we're talking to him. Like, is he, I mean, does he fall off the face of the earth?
Seems that way, unfortunately.
I sit and I look at like some of the recent draft picks, and I think about what we got coming up in this year's draft, and like the two guys that I'm the most excited to see what happens is Theo Stoxelius and Cole Reshny.
Yeah. Yep.
Super excited to see what those two bring.
Cullen Potter, I'm pretty high on as well.
Cullen Potter is an interesting story. I believe he is transferring out of Arizona State, I believe. And it's coming to my head right now. He's going to play at Michigan State this year. A lot of players transferred out of
Arizona
State this year. Yes, interesting.
I was going to say, so the NHL team.
Yeah, a friend of mine's son transferred out of Arizona State this year and is going to play for University of North Dakota. By the way, the University of North Dakota's defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why am I drawing a blank? He's been rumored to be the next guy that could be a Calgary Flames first round or sixth pick overall this year. That Castles, was it? Oh, you know what? Carson.
So we're talking about too many players now. I'm getting lost here.
No, I got it here. Carson Carroll's.
Andrew and Cole Castles.
I was. Prince George Cougars defenseman this year. He is also committed to play at the University of North Dakota also. So with Verhoff and Reshny and all, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people on this team that could be in the Flames' future. So that'll be interesting also.
Absolutely. We're getting so old just seeing all these, like, I can only assume that, like, Ilya Morozov, for example, is the son of Alexei Morozov, who once played in Pittsburgh, I believe, wore number 95. Like, you know what I mean? You get older, you see all these, like, all these kids of NHLers making it to the NHL.
We're going to start seeing grandkids.
Oh, don't talk like that. That's just depressing.
We are. Like, it's going to be beer before you know it.
Oh, that's not good.
So why do you feel like Calgary had struggles for so many years drafting and developing? And why has our history been so bad in the draft?
Well, because for the longest time they had no money. So they're forcing players into the lineup way too soon because they had no option. That's what they did, the whole Young Guns thing, right? So players that were not at all NHL ready got thrown into the show way too quickly. As from a drafting perspective, I don't think they were respecting how much the game was changing from, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s in particular into the next 10, 15 years, how much faster the game got. They kept drafting big, plodding Western Canadian kids who were never had the skill to make it to the NHL.
As much as I would argue, and I mean, I know you would be up for an argument on this, and I think a lot of people would, but I've always been a huge Western Hockey League fan, but I do think that Calgary was a little bit too heavy for a long time on just drafting Western Canadian kids.
Yeah, and they had a major deference to drafting European players for a while, which I also think hurt them quite a bit. You know, they missed out on a lot of really good players, and I would also take it a step further and suggest maybe there's staffing issues. Calgary, as you've brought up many times, is a fiercely loyal franchise to a fault. And seems like some people there have been guaranteed jobs for life, whether they've deserved them or not. So
I think that plays a role in it. And, you know, I know like everybody hates Vegas now, and I'm not saying I'm like the biggest Vegas fan. I'm obviously not. But I think you got to find a happy medium, right? You take care of your people.
Yeah. But, it's not that, I don't think it's that hard to do, but for some reason the Flames, like they really struggle to do it.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. It scared me when Conroy was given the general manager and then getting Ginla involved too. It's like, wow, guys, it's a fan base. Let's be careful what we wish for, because if things go awry and like, you know, remember last year at this time, the clamoring and the wanting for Tiija Ginla?
Yep.
And I wonder and I worry about things like that. And how would he have handled that pressure in Calgary? And you know, we'd have been force feeding them last year in Calgary, and you just don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's almost like the Steve Yzerman situation in Detroit. You know, as long as he have a job there, I mean, he's arguably the greatest player in franchise history. You know, between him, Nick Listrom, and Gordie Howe, like,
oh yeah, I mean, he's on their Mount Rushmore, right? And I tell you what, like, you just hate like, and I would hate to see that with a Ginla. I mean, as much as Conroy had a great playing career in Calgary, he is not going to be defined, I don't think, by his playing career in Calgary. It's going to be his general manager career. But no matter what Jerome Ginla did, his playing career is going to overshadow his front office career. And I would hate to tarnish any of his playing with a bad front office, right?
Well, and I mean, it's a little different too, because Ginla is an advisor, so he's very much on the periphery, which is a good thing, I think.
Right now, though, but I mean, yeah.
if they ever push him in a central role like president of hockey ops or GM, then it could be problematic for sure.
Yeah, I just don't ever want to ruin like the wonderfulness that we had with Jerome Ginla, and he was such just.
What they did in Toronto. Matt Sundin has zero executive experience in the NHL, and now he's backing up a guy that nobody in their right mind ever would have hired by pretty well every account except for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, oh, it'll be a fun show to watch. I'll tell you that.
Ooh, man, get your popcorn ready.
But, you know, this year, you know, getting back to Calgary and getting back to drafts and draft picks and things like that, I mean, this team has a absolute plethora of draft picks coming up. With the draft coming here in June, I mean, the Flames have 2 first-round picks, 4 second-round picks, 2 third-round round picks, 1 fourth, 1 fifth, 1 sixth. That is 11 picks in this year's 7-round draft.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. And I'm thoroughly convinced several of those picks are going to get moved.
You think the second round picks, I believe, will too.
Well, and even maybe the first, if they think they can move up and get a player they're really, really high on. But that's a little harder to believe. But hey, if Brian Burke can draft the Sedin Twins 2 and 3, anything can happen, right?
It's so hard to move up, though.
It is. Yep.
Yeah. Not maybe. Okay. It's not hard to move up from 26th to 13th. It's hard to move up anywhere into the top 5.
Yeah. It's damn near impossible unless you have a team that's well positioned, you know, to that can afford to slide down a little bit, because by the grace of God, you know, they got a higher pick than they should have, i.e. the Toronto Maple Leafs, who, if they have any brains at all, will keep that pick. But still, they had no right winning that draft lottery. Zero. Nope. So, anyway.
Been a long history for the Flames in drafts, and I think in the last couple years it's gotten a lot better. And
it couldn't get worse. It's a million times better.
We just told you how bad it was in the last 28 minutes, and hopefully this year, with 11 picks in the 2026 draft, which takes place the final weekend of June, let's just pray that there's some success there.
Oh, there will be. We're in good hands.
I agree. All right, Flame fans, continue to enjoy your offseason, and we will be throwing out regular episodes along with these special episodes every single week during the offseason. Enjoy, Flames fans, and we'll talk next week.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered with Brad Giroux and Kyle Lewis, your source for unfiltered Calgary Flames hockey talk. Keep it locked on flamesunfiltered.ca. Subscribe where you get all your podcasts to never miss an episode. Flames Hockey Talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.
Feeling out that grounded pound.
Nipples bleed, busted down.